Good morning. It is a great day to be here, to be in the house of the Lord. And if you haven't noticed, things look a little different this morning. When I walked in, I said, it is busy in here. A lot going on. At the 8 o'clock service, I was visiting with the ladies, and she says, I'm so glad to see Vacation Bible School stuff up, because that means summer is finally here. And I said, we should start setting up in May, if that ushers in summer. But it is good to be here. You know, a few weeks ago, we prayed for Andrew Feller as we sent him to Louisiana. They returned him. So he's back. He's with us. He's going to be delivering the message here later on in this service. I'm sharing God's word with us. And so we are excited to have him come back and share with us. Excited to have this team.
Good morning, everyone. So happy to be here. Just glad to be back in Wyoming after being a little bit in Louisiana. Good to be back in some tolerable weather. Happy to be able to be here before you. And like the backdrop of the VBS scene here, getting ready to teach some kids. And I'm really thankful for our music team. It's so great. The songs they pick just really touch the heart. And I just love that. I don't think I need to come up here sometimes with the songs they pick. Just give the message perfectly if you listen real close. And I just love how it is played and reaches out. So today we're going to be continuing in the book of James. We'll be starting in chapter 4, verse 13, and we'll go through chapter 5 to verse 11. And as we have previously kind of gone through in the book of James, James is talking to his church and kind of telling them how to work through some of the problems that they're having becoming new to the faith and how to overcome some of the trials that they're going through in their lives. And so he talks about how to overcome the trials we face, and how to have a thankful heart in them, how to seek wisdom through God, and how to give up our own self-control and give control up to God. And ultimately, through the whole book of James and really the whole Bible that we have the message of us serving God. And there are multiple perspectives that we can have through how we interpret the Bible. And some right, some wrong. And James kind of calls out to that. And James is trying to direct his church and now direct us on how some of these things should be. So if you guys would all join me in reading, we'll be starting in James 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries and are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosions will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts, and in the day of the slaughter, you have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the Father waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and later rains. You also be patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord of an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intention by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. If you all bow your head with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this wonderful day, and I thank you for letting us all be able to gather here in your presence. I pray that you open up our hearts and our ears to hear your word and to hear your individual message for each of us. Lord, just guide this message and be here with us. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So again, if we have been going through James, he has been talking to the church and kind of guiding them on how their hearts, their mind, and their actions should be. And he is giving a little bit of correction. And ultimately, we see here that there are two choices for us to have, and that is to choose who we serve. Do we choose to serve not God, or do we choose to serve God? If we're choosing to serve not God, we are choosing to serve the things of the world, to serve ourselves, to serve other people, or in some circumstances, it's just nothing. We just go with the flow. We're just there. Or we choose to serve God. We choose to serve our Creator, our King, our Savior, the one who rules over us all, the one who took his precious time to design and create each of us, specially and individually. He took the time to have a plan, to have a purpose for us, to give us hope, to give us a future, and to bless us. And so that is where we should find our hope, where we should humble ourselves, get rid of the pride of trying to serve ourselves, and to follow the God who takes care of us, the God who has the plan. So if you'll follow along back to chapter 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time, then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and not to do good, not to do it, to him it is sin. So here again we have kind of two choices seen as either serving ourselves and thinking that we can go and do this and make a difference, or we can choose to serve God's will and God's plan for our life. If we seek our own, we think we are in control. We think what we are doing matters. What we are doing is important. That's our pride of, awesome, I got this, let's do it. But we should know that we are never in control. God is the one who is always in control. And an example that we can see through the Bible is Jonah. Now, Jonah was a prophet, but he really didn't get it, so sorry, little VeggieTale joke there. Jonah was a prophet, and he decided that he was serving God. And then there came a time when God said, go preach to the town of Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a town that persecuted Christians, trying to conquer their land, and basically had no respect for the Israelites. And in return, they kind of had no respect for them. So Jonah had the thought of, they don't deserve God's word. And Jonah decided that he was going to do the exact opposite of what God had said, and he was going to travel the exact way. He thought he was in control, and that he could get away with doing that and do that in his life. But as the story goes on, he hops on the ship, and a storm comes, and he is cast out and eaten by a great fish. So now, while in the belly of that fish, he is praying and seeking for guidance, forgiveness, and what to do, and for help. And what does God do? God takes control or he had always been in control, but sends Jonah right back to where he told Jonah to go in the first place. And then even after that, Jonah didn't have it in his heart to continue and have the purpose that God had there. Jonah, after preaching, still wanted the destruction of Nineveh. But that was Jonah's plan. That is what Jonah wanted. And luckily, Jonah was not in control. And God is, and God spared the city because the city repented. And so, we have to choose, do we want to serve in our own control or into God's control? And if we're serving in God's control, we can know if we are following that by reading in our Bibles and spending our time in prayer to know what God's will is, to know what his plan is. And then our actions will reflect that. What we do and how we act and treat others. If we're following what we're doing with the Bible, we have the directions. And I have the pleasure of serving and teaching with the youth and the college kids. And so sometimes we get the lucky privilege of still watching movies and not be good teaching moments. Be grand, you know, if we just put up a movie real quick for a sermon. But it's great. Kids learn from it, and it even teaches the adults, and we get some lessons out of it. So the movie we watched was To Play the Flute. And in there was a line that just really stuck with me. So there's a guy who is a youth pastor, and he's trying to teach some kids some things. And I think his wife set him up for this failure. I think she did it purposely, but she had a dress that she had bought from a store and wanted to return it. So she sends her husband on the mission to take it back. Well, when he gets to the store, he goes up to the clerk and says, "Hey, my wife bought the wrong size. She would like to return this." And the clerk goes, "Sorry, you can't return this." And he kind of goes into, "Well, why not?" And she said, "Well, our terms and conditions of this are that it is non-refundable and non-returnable." And so he just kind of sits there for a little bit and, you know, the cheesy cinematic stuff kind of, "Well, why not?" And ultimately he has this thought in his head of, "Oh, hey, I can't change the terms and conditions." Well, that's the same that we have. We have our terms and conditions right here in our Bibles. God has a plan, his word written out here of what we should do, how we should act, and how we should live through our lives. His terms and conditions are right here. And you know, sometimes we're on that same page of, "Well, I don't know, I don't want to follow that, that doesn't seem right." Or, "Oh, you know, that's a little different, I don't think that's what's being said here." And we try to change it. But we can't change it. The terms and conditions are written, and those are the ones that are intended to be followed. They are written for that reason, for us to give our control to God, to let him guide our life. So if you'll follow along with me, now we're back into chapter 5, and we'll be going 1 through 6. "Come now, you rich, weep howl for your miseries, and they are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reaper and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your heart as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you." So here, James is moving forward to another thought of two choices between God and then money and things. So James is giving the comparison of what happens to things and to money over time, and what happens in our lives with them. Eventually, one day, we're all going to die, or, you know, be taken up, hopefully, as well. One of the two. And all the things will be left behind. Everything that we have worked and strived for hard will be behind us. Any money we have gained will be behind us. That does not go on. We do not carry on with that. It will fade away. It will corrode. What gain do we get from these things? What gain do we get from putting our hearts into only seeking money, into only thinking pleasurable things, free time? What gain do we get from wanting to skip church, to watch the sports games, to go camping, to do all these other things and not be spending our time in God? Now, I'm not saying these things in themselves are bad. We do need relaxation, and we do need time for fellowship and to grow. But it's if we're seeking those as our pleasure and as our escapes, our comfort should come from God. Our relaxation should come from God. Everything we do should be for seeking His kingdom and furthering it. Is it not the eternal salvation of our souls that is more important? And the knowledge of His word on our hearts is equally as important, so that we can spread His love and His mercy and His kindness? We should be giving our time and meaning and energy into serving others and serving God's will, and knowing that He has a plan before us to let Him be in control and let Him be out there. And so if you'll continue, verse 7, "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the earth and later rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endured. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intention by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into temptation." So here Job gives this illustration of a farmer. So a farmer can plant his seed, and a farmer can plow and sow and can water and protect from some weather stuff. But ultimately, he has no control over how much the crop will yield. And just like in our lives, we don't have control over our yield. There are times in our lives where we may be sharing the gospel. We may be sharing the word, and we will be rejected. We will be condemned. We will be persecuted. And we may think, oh, well, what I'm doing doesn't matter. We may be discouraged that whatever we do has no meaning to it. But we can't always see that. We can't always see what is going on, what is going to happen in the future. God is the one who sees and knows. And so we have to have the patience of knowing what God will do, and He will do good works. He will keep His promise. James talks about in the previous chapter of facing times of trials, and that we should have good hearts and bear those trials with graciousness and seeking wisdom out of those trials. So we should have the patience to, in times of trials, times of joy, times of happiness and peace and ease, to know that we can serve God. And that if we're serving God, God will be in control of the yield. And God will be in control of what happens after that. We don't have to be in control. Then we have this knowing that Christ will return. There will be better days. There will be better times ahead of us. Christ will return, and we will be in heaven if we believe and accept His grace. And in that time, there will be perfection, a perfection that we cannot imagine here, a perfection that will give away all the times of trouble and sorrow and have us forget and no more remember it. We will have peace, we'll have love, we will have God's presence there guiding us and protecting us. And in this, I think of the song, I Can Only Imagine. And he talks about in his lyrics of how he can only imagine what heaven will be like. Because really, we can't even imagine. But he talks about when we get there, will we be singing endless praises? Will we be standing there in his awe? Or will we fall before him? We don't know. We just know that there will be a time where there will be no more pain. There will be no more suffering. So we must also endure, because we can have comfort in the fact that our trials and our pains will one day end. And also that Christ had more pain and more sorrow than any of us could imagine when he died on that cross for us. He had given us the grace to overcome sin and shame. He bared our sins so that we could be with him in that perfect paradise, so that we can have forever peace and forever joy. And ultimately, he is there knocking at that door. He has given us those two choices of, do we serve God? Do we accept to choose God, or do we accept to choose not God? We have that choice of, at the end, when the judgment comes, of if we chose to say, not God, he will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. And then there will be eternal pain and suffering awaiting. And that should give us some urgency as us as Christians to go out there and follow the call of preaching and spreading his word and his gospel to everyone so that no one has to suffer that fate. And then hopefully, if we accept the grace that God has given to us, that we accept the salvation that is there, we will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That we will hear, good job. You have accepted me. You have followed my words. You have followed my commands. You have done well. Come to paradise. Come enjoy the eternal peace, the eternal love in my presence. And, you know, that's just so amazing to see. I personally hope, you know, it's endless praise, just sitting there dancing and worshiping and having that joyful heart of love and peace there. But here, while we're on earth, this is an everyday battle. We have an everyday choice in what we do. Do I follow the terms and conditions that God has placed in the Bible? Do I choose to follow what God has said and God has commanded us to do? Or do I decide to choose not God and serve myself and enjoy the world more? And so just think of that on your hearts, of what are the choices that we make. If you will all bow with me. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for the freedom to be able to worship you here. And I thank you that you have love and you have mercy for us and a guidance and a heart to give us so much grace, even though we are sometimes not deserving of it. But you have said we are precious. You have laid down your life before us, and you have chosen to accept us, Lord. And I just give us guidance and touch our hearts. In your holy name I pray. Amen.
Proverbs 21:2, it says, every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. To do righteousness and justice is desired by the Lord more than sacrifice. Andrew's challenged us to make a choice, to choose who we're going to serve, to choose who we're going to follow, to choose who is most important in our life. Are we going to do things our way and follow the desires of our own hearts? Or are we going to turn and follow our Savior and do what God has called us to do? And now we have a time of invitation, a time to respond to God's word and respond to the message that we heard. And so as we are here this morning, consider what God would have for you. Consider maybe who you are following. Consider where your heart's desire is. And are you truly choosing every day to follow him?